listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning. You're welcome to the 1st of July's iteration of A Biblical Response. It is the 1st of July. My goodness, what happened to the first half of the year? I just went right by. And so I don't know. Well, I don't really want anyone to call and tell me I did live it. But anyway, here we are. We are live today. Last week we had a backup program because yours truly was out of town getting a mini retreat. Getting the toxic wastes of my soul pumped out, and it really did work. Praise God for that opportunity. But now we're back live in the studio, and we're counting everybody staying that way for the whole hour. I'm going to introduce my co-host today. I just have to say, I don't say this to gain any traction with them, because we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, but what a tremendous opportunity that the Lord has given me to work with these wonderful people. Truly God lovers, very gifted in their own areas of expertise and ministry. I'm going to start with the man who brought the donuts again this morning, Keith Masters. Good to have you, brother.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here. God bless.
Oh, man,
God
bless. Just love you for the donuts.
No, we don't. We don't. That is literally icing on the cake. But he's such a great man of God. Enjoy working with you, brother. Down at the end of the table here is Stephanie Jacobson, who I'm going to let you swallow your coffee.
Thank you. I'm getting awake here.
Yeah, I know. It's a morning. It's a long morning process for me. And then Ann Lumhoko.
Good to morning. See you. I'm a little loud because my two co-hosts were like a little just low energy. I'm like, they had donuts. I don't know why they're
donuts.
So low energy.
Well, maybe
I didn't have a donut this morning.
Oh, that explains it, Stephanie.
You are telling on me.
Oh, well, I had a donut, and I tell you, I'm blessed for it.
That's why we're high energy.
Well, this morning, we're
going to
be...
On the first break, I'll have one.
Okay, all right, okay. And we'll expect a report when you finish. They're all good. They're all fresh. Listen, so... Normally, you know, the focus of this program is that you've been hearing stuff in the news, and then we'll bring an item or two in that we think is concerning. We'll deal with it. We'll talk about it. Certainly, we'll be talking politics because that's where God wants his church. But we'll also, be bringing scripture into that mix. But today, the point we're going to at least start with was something that really wasn't too much in the news. If you are someone who's connected, we'll talk about the Intercessors for America in a minute. And if you're connected with them, then you're aware of this event. But it is an important event, and we're going to be talking about the importance. We're going to be bringing scripture in to undergird some of the points we're going to be talking about. So with any further ado, or with actually no further ado, except for the little ado that I have to throw in to bring all of this to focus on Ann, who's going to get us started on that point?
You know what? Yesterday was such a treat. And that is what we're going to be talking about as the Spirit leads on the rest of the hour. But Intercessors for America, it's an intercessory group. I don't know if our listeners have heard of it, but they've been around and been praying for a government for 50 years. Mm-hmm. 50 years. And their website is ifapray.org. So what we're going to be talking about is our dear President Trump extended an invitation to intercessors from Intercessors for America to join on a special call with himself and then Senior Advisor Paula White, Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt, and Faith Director Jenny Korn. And I'm part of IFA. And when I saw this, I'm like, I'm going to invite my co-hosts. Mm-hmm. So the four of us yesterday were on this call, and basically that's what we're going to be talking about. And the reason why we're going to be talking about this is there's many reasons, but the word calls us to pray for our leaders, and our president sees the importance of being connected with our faith leaders and having prayer over him. And it was an opportunity for him to actually update us on accomplishments that he's done for the faith community. So let's talk about that. It was a pleasure to be on that call. Yeah. And really quickly, the call was supposed to be starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It didn't kick off, according to my notes, until about 2:24 p.m. And that is because the capacity was reached on the phone lines of 10,000 people who called in. So AT&T was having difficulties. That's 10,000 people who called on the phone line. But then you could actually go on the website of IFA and then watch the broadcast. So that's more people that joined. Mm-hmm. And they were having difficulties. Look at all those people that called and watched. At least 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, President Trump did say that there were so many Christians on the call.
Yep.
That the enemy was probably responsible.
He acknowledged it. He said, "I don't like to acknowledge that very often."
Right, but he did. He acknowledged the Christians and that the enemy is up against it. So.
So, it was just a wonderful call, and it started off with Jennifer Korn, who's the White House Faith Director. During President's term, he created a White House Faith Office. I don't know if our listeners know, but he created a White House Faith Office, and Jennifer Korn started off the call, and then it was then turned to Pastor Paula White, who has been close to the president for like over 25 years.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah. Been his life for a long time.
Yeah.
And she started off with prayer. And did you guys hear? She declared scripture over the president. She talked about James 1:5.
Right.
She spoke Ephesians 1:17 over our president. And she said, "Let Isaiah 61 be our commission today." That really encouraged me. And then, so let's just talk about this, because even though this wasn't officially in the news, this is something that we felt was important to bring up, because we have to talk about the importance of praying for our leaders, which is scriptural. And why does our president need prayer? It's only with prayer is he in the position he's in right now.
One of the things that Paula White and the leadership said yesterday, too, was that you talked about the media not being a media event. Mm-hmm. And they specifically said that they were not wanting it to be geared towards any media. So it was truly a private call. I'm sure there were media on the line. I mean, they couldn't keep anybody off. Mm-hmm. It was for everyone. But just to know that this was to reach the public one-on-one from the president's office. And one of the things that I didn't know from the logistics of things is the West Wing is very small. It is not a very big area. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Oval Office is. The Oval Office is right between that and the main part of the White House. And you have to kind of pass by it to actually get into the West Wing. Mm. But there's not very many offices in the West Wing. So to put a faith team together and put it in the West Wing, that's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And he made the effort and saw that it was important enough to have that happen, to be there all the time. I mean, that's calling on the God of the universe to be invited into some of the most, you know, special places in this nation that people don't always get to go to, but God was invited. And so that is important for us to remember that I'm sure he had advisors that were very specific about, this is something that if you don't recognize this, I mean, you know, people boohoo Trump about a lot of things, and as well, background is not always a great thing to look at, but he is listening to some of his advisors, and that's what we need to be aware of as Christians, that we do have an influence in your private prayer closet of the things that are happening in this nation. And I have learned over the last probably 10 years, especially, that, you know, we want to think that we have a place, that we're making a difference in something, right? whether it's in your home, changing diapers or whatever it is. I mean, that's an important thing to do. And so I did that for years. And so for the last 10 years, this has been some place that I'm like, does it even exist in our government? Does this place that, mm-hmm. you know, of faith truly exist? And I believe that we have been probably over the last 15 years been, as Christians, looking to get more involved. I think there was a mm-hmm. time when we were lackadaisical about yep. those things. And even if it's in your school system, we're seeing now that that's so important. All the way up to the West Wing. That Amen. Is important.
It is.
So.
Well, she did say that she came out of President Trump's office.
Who are we talking
moved,
about?
Which she?
Pastor Paula?
No, Paul. Who was doing?
Paula White.
Paula White was okay. doing the call, yeah. Paula White said that they were moving out of President Trump's office. Mm-hmm. So they brought the call into his office, mm-hmm. and then they moved out of his office mm-hmm. when Carolyn Leavitt got on the phone. Mm-hmm. So they brought the prayer group directly into his office. And I'm thinking that's the Oval Office, right?
There's an Oval Office that's for optics, and okay. then you have his actual working space, okay. which right. is right. off so, from the Oval.
And okay. I wasn't watching, so I'm not sure which one it was.
So.
But I know that they were in the West Wing.
Right.
They didn't
see
show anything
the Oval
like
Office.
On the actual
I believe if they had been in the Oval, they would have said the Oval Office.
Right, okay.
But his office actually is where he right. has a dirty desk. Probably has a full trash can.
Oh, gosh.
And a burn bag for all of the top secret stuff.
I want to bring up an important point. As our listeners may know, we're in the throes of President Trump wanting to pass the big, beautiful bill.
Yeah.
And this was in front of the Senate yesterday, and he was in the middle of all that. Okay. And the reason why they went from room to room is because he was dealing with some of that, like senators coming in. Actually, Senator Marco Rubio walked by and got yeah. on the call yesterday.
He's now Secretary of State.
I'm sorry. Yep. What did I call him?
Call him Senator. He was
sorry.
A senator.
Senator, but now Secretary of State.
Got yeah. promoted is yes. all. So
he yeah. sounded tired yesterday. Trump
yeah,
sounded
did.
Tired.
He did.
And, but he did say he was really busy. But he goes, and this is what I wrote in my notes. In fact, if it weren't you, meaning all of us on the call, the faith leaders, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I can only be doing this for this group. He understands the importance.
Yes.
Okay. Of putting people of faith, Christians, at priority. That's he right. understands. And he also credits him being alive because of God.
Amen. Amen. Now, as a comment, I want to interject at this point because
yeah.
we hadn't talked about this, but I know myself, as I've grown in my faith over the years, over the decades, I guess now, to be talking about the Lord's looking at God in the context of where I live and who I am, and trying to expand my thinking and my heart to have a much bigger picture of what God is doing in our culture and in cultures in general. And I'm going to say then at this point, because I'm going to tie this into the scriptures, but I'm going to say at this point that God doesn't change. We know that. We change. We need to change. But God is immutable, meaning he doesn't change.
Unchangeable.
The mm-hmm. word is from the word mutation, right? Mutation means changing. He is not going to change. So we can look in history, where history has been properly recorded, and I'm including the scriptures in this, and say that God does the same thing and looks for the same thing in every age. Now, I've been reading in 1 and 2 Kings. And in 1 and 2 Kings, well, obviously, it's a record of the kings of Israel and Judah. And then when you read the little excerpts they have in all the kings, I can't remember all their names. I'm not going to try to pronounce them if I did, okay? But just to say, in the succession of these stories, that they always start out by whether they walked with God mm-hmm. or not, okay?
Yep.
So, and this is important to God, that the leaders that he picks walk with him, because when they do, they and their people are blessed, because they are walking with God. It means they're listening to God, now maybe to whatever degree, because he knows he's working with us broken, fallible creatures. But you see in the history of Israel and Judah, while the two nations were separate especially, but even when they were together, that when they walked with God, great things happened, and God protected them from their enemies, blessed them in their, and obviously the battles they had to fight all the time, in their economy, in their culture, everything.
Bless the nation.
Bless the nation. When they didn't walk with God, when they did things against God's will, obviously the exact opposite happened. So now, because that's important to God in all ages, now in 2025, we can look at every nation and the what every leader does in every nation today, and so much of it's in the news, we don't have to fight hard to find it. We can look at other nations in the world. We can see the fruit, bitter or sweet, of what they're doing and see what's happening in that nation. We could take Iran, for instance. We're not going to go into that today as far as the news, but we can see where they're going and hosting terrorism all over the world, wanting to have a nuclear bomb, even though they say they don't. Why would you enrich uranium to weapon levels if you don't want a bomb? But at a point being, look what's happening to them. Their economy is suffering. Their nation is suffering. They're suffering. So that's the context that came to me when we decided we were going to talk about this phone call today, and where President Trump has personally made it a point to not just thank faith leaders, the whole faith community, for the prayers that he knows he needs as president, but has actually established something physical, actual and personal and professional to be a blessing, not just to the faith community, because he knows that when the faith community is active and blessed and alive, everybody else gets blessed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the context. I throw that in there.
The nation gets blessed.
The nation gets blessed.
Yes.
Yes. And we have God's favor.
So. Amen.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, you were saying before how more people of faith are getting involved in the government, I think, I mean, you know, they're being exposed more. They're coming out more as they're in office. And let me see. The Speaker of the House is a believer. And we know, Carolyn Leavitt is a believer. You know, I believe that President Trump is a believer. Mm-hmm. There's some that say, you know, there's some that don't. But the way that President Trump is coming forward with his faith.
Of course.
And
there's growth.
There's growth.
There is lots of growth.
And I believe that he's being led by the Lord. So, you know, one of the things that we see here with it says that evil can only win when the righteous do nothing. And the righteous are moving into government. So it is a battle of evil over evil.
I think that, just to make your point, I think that there's been righteous in government. You know, the Lord places people all over, right? In all the different, what we call seven mountains of influence, whether it be education, business, whatever. But it's so prevalent now because there is a person who we believe is led by the Lord and obviously is looking at Christians as an important thing, because this call yesterday was so, so evident of the importance that he places on God, because he's at the top. You know what I mean? He's at the top. He's the most powerful man in the world.
Right.
And that is why we're seeing that there's people in government, because even though there has been, but people don't know until you see the one at the top become, you know, somebody who follows the Lord.
Well, here's
does that make sense?
Yeah, and here's one of the things is who you put around you is who you're going to be influenced by.
Yeah.
And so that goes all the way down to the playground, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to hang out with the bully kids.
Right. I mean, you know, I choose my friends wisely because I want to be influenced by people. It is definitely scriptural.
Yep.
And sometimes we live out scripture without knowing what the scripture is, right? I have to go to Google to find those addresses sometimes.
Me too.
But it is. And so influencing our government, because we are the government, which is so crazy, because
we the people.
We don't always take our rightful positions, and we leave it to other people to do the work. And I applaud the people that have stepped forward before us, that are willing to step into those spaces. I mean, we had my best friend from high school, you know, on not too long ago. She's a freshman. Well, she just completed her freshman year up in Missouri. And you know, guys, it's not the same when you step into those positions. you know, you hear all this moaning and complaining and groaning and all this stuff on the outsides, and we're, you know, Monday morning armchairing that. Mm. And it's like, step into the fight and find out exactly what is going on and make some changes.
Well, you
and
know,
help to make changes.
People like your best friend who's part of what, the Missouri legislature? The only reason that that person's there is because they have to be called. Because why would somebody just just go into that kind of fight? So
we're going to go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we will be entertaining phone calls if you want to call, question, or comment. And the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I just want to, before we go into the break, remind you, we've quoted this guy before, Edmund Burke. We were talking earlier about the attitudes people have toward evil. And the quote attributed to him is this: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's speaking to all of us. So what are you doing?
Amen.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to A Biblical Response. And we're just going to, again, if you've been listening and you have a question or a comment, you can reach us at 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. You can agree, by the way, or disagree with us. Either way, just watch your language. Okay, everybody, back to where we were.
You know, a thought that came to mind when we were last speaking right before the break is the preachers back in the founding of this nation played an integral part of shaping public opinion, basically providing kind of moral justification for the American Revolution. They were people like George Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And here's some other names. But let's see, some other names. Jonathan Mayhew or James Caldwell. They used their sermons to challenge, basically, the British rule and to challenge people in the pews.
Mm-hmm.
And they used scripture. And it was them, the church, kind of working with what we say as our founding fathers. And some of the actual preachers fought in the army, in our first army, against the British rule.
Mm-hmm.
So look at our United States would not be founded if it wasn't for the influence of those preachers, in my opinion. And then back then, we had the Great Awakening. Do you guys remember the Great Awakening, which was the religious revival in the 1730s
Yes,
and
I was
40s?
Alive in that time.
I'm a little too young.
But I mean, when you read about it,
do I look that bad this morning? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I remember that.
I don't call you out very often, but that one got me.
I just graduated high school when that
I deserve
about.
That. When I say, do you remember reading about reading, it or yes, studying I did, yeah. about it?
You know what's interesting? When I was in high, and I'm 75, so that puts me back in the 60s in high school.
Not exactly in the 1700s. Yep.
No, but that was mentioned in one of my history classes.
Oh, that's what I meant
now.
They don't talk about it now because it's
religious. It's a shame it's not.
You know, they don't talk about it now.
But the Great Awakening, which was in the 1730s and 40s, it played a significant role in preparing the colonies for a revolution.
Yes.
So we see how important God is and the influence of the preachers on actually stirring people to do the right thing. We wouldn't be sitting here, wouldn't be even have a United States if we didn't have them.
No, but I'm telling you what, it's time for another Great Awakening.
I think
I
that
believe we've been praying
isn't
for that.
That what Trump said when he made his speech? This is a golden age.
Golden age, yeah.
Same to me as kind of a Great Awakening.
There's things going on that are pointing to people waking up and God waking them up. It's not just people waking up. Yeah. We have to have the Holy Spirit
absolutely
to wake us up.
Amen.
We've been talking about in the past few shows and programs that we've been doing. We've been talking about the deception of evil.
Yeah, yeah.
And this ties into the deception that goes on.
Yeah.
And one of the words in the Bible, one of the words that aimed at defacing the glory of God, is resists and opposes. That's two words I just said. But
that's all right. We'll give you one.
We'll give you credit.
You got grace.
Right. Thank you. It opposes, resists, and deceives. And this is something that I'm just looking at here. John Phillips, we were talking about deception from the enemy. And President Trump is trying to regroup America and the United States from things gone by. And we were talking about his faith. One of the accomplishments that he's done in the office, from the faith office, is reversing the Obama-era policy that prevented disaster relief for religious organizations. And, you know, I don't know if people really know that was out there and that President Trump overturned that so that if a church was destroyed, they can now get relief from the destruction.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So we're,
good.
Yeah, so we're looking at stuff like this and we're seeing from the deception. If you don't know that somebody else implemented that rule,
mm-hmm.
well then you won't know that President Trump mm-hmm. implemented a different rule.
Well, what's so interesting is in his first administration, and this was something that just caught my ear because I wasn't really listening real hard and heavy back then, to be honest with you. But one of the things that I did remember that he made an effort to do was, you know, to tell the faith leaders back then, back in 2016, why are you afraid to speak about truth to your congregations? And so he was very adamant about that. He did not understand because maybe he wasn't going to church. I don't know what was going on back then, but he was not aware that there was fear within the community of believers to speak about certain things from the pulpit.
Mm.
And he made a statement that said, I do not, why are we not doing this? And he I don't remember exactly what he did, but there was some steps that he took to, do you remember that, David? Do you remember?
Only vaguely.
Yeah.
I don't have any specifics to refer to.
Yeah, no, well, one of the things that bothers me, though, frustrates me a little bit, is that we look to the government to be our provider at times when
savior, quote unquote.
Yes, and we rely on the government to do things that actually the church should be doing.
Absolutely.
And I think that there is a push to push it back to the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so that call yesterday was, as I was listening to it, we weren't together listening to it, so we were all in our own little places, but it made me understand that God is actually in control of all of this. This is not about President Trump. This is not about the faith office. This is not about government at all. It is that he is the government, and the government will be on his shoulders. I mean, there was
Isaiah. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So we as Christians do not have to worry, even though there are things coming and things that look bad and things that are seemingly overwhelming, oh my goodness, there are times when I'm like, really, God, we're going to have to deal with this. I mean, is this coming? And you, it makes for fear. Fear is rampant. That is what the enemy wants. He wants us to fear what is coming. And we as Christians do not need to fear what is coming. I hate the fact that we're taking it to the government at all, that we need anything.
You mean the focus is so much on the government,
yes,
when it needs to be. Well, let me just tell you, yeah, I'm surprised Keith didn't jump in. Isaiah 9:6, were you?
Wait, finish that. I've got something to
say
about that.
Okay, Isaiah 9:6, which Stephanie referred to, which talks about Jesus, the government will be on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So that's a prophecy referring to the Messiah, mm-hmm, about the Messiah, obviously Jesus, who will uphold ultimate authority and responsibility. Mm-hmm. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
That's who we always need to look to.
Right.
The thing, you know, we talk about big government. Okay, and that's a phrase, it's an important phrase, but anyone living today doesn't really have an idea of what that really means because we have all lived under big government. I say that because with the exception of a few people who are over 100 years old or more, but I did some research here on my very important little handheld computer we call the phone here, because there's a phrase that we hear about in several venues that's important here. It's called follow the money. And big government and the increase in the cost of government goes together. So before 1913, the government income was primarily from tariffs. That's why they existed. That from goods coming into the United States, those other countries paid a fee to market here in the United States. And, of course, we also did the same, but up until 1913, before 1913, over 90% of the governmental revenue came from tariffs. Between 1790 and 1860, 100%. And there may have been local taxes, certainly, states, counties, whatever. But so the government needed that to do what governments do at the federal level.
And that was only function. That was only three. I mean, there was nothing like we have now. There was only three things back then. I mean, there's...
That's right.
Anyway, yeah.
But in 1913, the ratification of the 16th Amendment and the subsequent establishment of the federal income tax,
yes,
provided an alternative and more substantial source of government funding. But when that happened, mm-hmm, yeah, the government maybe at that time, the people were calling on the government to do more as a government, but not necessarily locally.
It was more about protection and the interstate, you know, to be able to travel from one spot to the next. I mean, that's essentially what the government was
built
back then.
Protection, defense.
It was gone very wayward.
I mean,
the work,
yes,
of government itself, yes, does cost money. It was but since 1913, income taxes have been the primary source of federal revenue. And
that's telling. That's telling.
See, sounds familiar.
But yeah, what's happened over that time is that people have gotten
to rely.
Well, you know, it's like if you sit around over coffee and breakfast with a bunch of friends and you talk about the government, everybody, eventually someone's going to say, well, the government ought to do this or the government ought to do that. Well, see, that's the attitude.
I like that voice. That was really good.
That's
a pause voice.
That's pause.
Not the voice is a problem, but relying on anybody but Jesus as our provider.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what we're getting at.
What I see President Trump doing is, and he's made this very clear, that he wants to see government shrink appropriately.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things that the states can do that they haven't been doing. And there's a lot of things that, when you have big government, it also restricts your freedoms at the personal level, because big government wants to manage your life,
micromanage,
and once you have an office, a governmental office, what do? They sit down and write rules and policies,
yeah,
and how to
more
enforce
bureaucracy.
Them.
Well,
more
down
bureaucracy.
To the place of that they are. They are, I was just reading, it says, updating federal guidance on protected prayer and religious expression in public schools. I know that's a governmental agency, too, the public schools are. But they're talking about our prayer life.
Yeah,
I mean that is infringing. I'm sorry.
You may have seen what governments do now in the news in the last few months. In Scotland, they passed a law that if you live within a certain distance of an abortion clinic, you can't even pray against abortion in your home quietly.
I did not know that.
Yeah, in your home. Now, in the UK, you can't stand quietly within a certain distance from an abortion clinic and pray quietly against what they're doing there.
Well, it's a problem here in the U.S. in some places as well. So
sure.
That's
right. That's the opposition.
That's big government.
That's the opposition. That's the resistance,
yeah.
Right? Against the Christianity, against the Word of God, actually, is what it is.
It is.
Because God is life. And I just wanted to say something here. John Phillips, you were talking about, it's not about President Trump, mm-hmm. right? It's not about the people in office that we like or we dislike. John Phillips, who was an evangelist, said it this way. And he wrote, our enemies are not people. We must see beyond people. Satan may use people to persecute us, to lie to us, to cheat us, to hurt us, or even kill us. But our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world, moving mm-hmm. people as pawns on the chessboard of time. As long as we see people as enemies and wrestle against them, we will spend our strength in vain.
Oh, Keith, that is
so powerful.
Good. That was something I was thinking about this morning, getting ready to come here today. The fact that I can sit across from someone, and I just have in the last couple of weeks, that was very powerful, that was my enemy, you know, quote unquote,
right.
in this life.
In the flesh.
Yes.
In the flesh.
And yet, I am commanded to love them, not only just told to love them, but commanded to love them. And it made mm-hmm. my ability to sit in that room and not have any animosity towards that person, knowing that I get to love them. They don't have that mandate. Mm. They don't see that mandate. They don't have it given to them by God until He does. They have the ability to hate. In a way that I don't ever want to feel that. I've felt hate in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to feel that. So the love that you're just talking about there, I mean, we get to love people. And that's why I'm not,
Amen.
I'm sure people will come against me on that.
Well, it's also about praying into the opposition because you're praying in the spirit.
Against
the principalities yeah. that are up
and
against us.
And it's not the people. It's not the people.
It's the spirit.
It's the spiritual,
right?
demonic
right?
forces
so, Ephesians 6,
that Ephesians 6
right,
talks
right,
about.
You know,
right.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood,
that's
but against
right.
the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Right.
And that's who we wrestle.
Right.
And that is why when we are in a room full of haters, we will ask for God's grace, and I know I have to ask for it, to love the people who are hating us.
Yep.
And God will hate the sin, and I can hate the sin, but I'm called to love the sinner because I am a sinner. And I need that love as much as anybody else.
You know what? We lose our witness and our character when we as Christians get to the point of hate. And when we were fighting the amendment for stuff in Florida, which mm-hmm. was, you know, looking to legalize abortion up to birth, I was dealing with lots of Christians who had that hate. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, no. Yeah. We're not called to hate.
You know, it's funny.
We can still stand for truth without hating.
Right. One of the lessons that the Lord has taught me in the last, and we've all got lessons that we can put out here, I'm sure. But this was one that really, when I was reading the scripture about, you know, heaping coals upon their heads and, you know, okay. Mm. So what do coals do? Coals are hot and they do one of two things. They either refine or they burn to ash, and it's not up to us which happens.
Right.
It's up to the Lord and up to those people what they choose to do against us. But we are to be refined by the fire.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
The other the avenue of understanding that particular scripture is when you read it. What Paul is saying that if you love your enemies is like pouring burning coals on their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's because an enemy is only focused on enmity.
Yeah.
I'm going to be your enemy. I'm going to be angry at you.
Yeah. Mm.
I expect you to come back with more anger because that's how
vitriol.
We do it.
Right.
But when you love somebody, it's surprising. It's as surprising as someone pouring burning coals on your head. You didn't expect it.
It sometimes makes them more angry.
because yeah. you're sitting there not angry. And it's like, yeah. Yeah. why are they not getting mad? Why are they not lashing back? And that's the coals that God's talking about. It's that love will refine. It just does.
You know, David,
it often diffuses the anger.
It does.
David Jeremiah also says, he adds to John Phillips, and he says that when we focus on the argument and lose sight of where the battle is fought, when we focus on the argument, which is the people, right? So if you don't agree with President Trump, you're focusing on the argument. You're focusing on what President Trump is saying, and you're losing sight of who President Trump is in the Lord.
That's true. But God
and you're also not listening to what benefits might be provided through the actions that are being discussed.
Right.
Exactly.
It's break time. Now, I'm going to tell you, we'll invite your calls when we come back from the break. This break's going to be a little over 3 minutes, so if you have any personal needs, you can meet them.
Go get you a drink.
Word of life, speak to my weary heart, strengthen my broken parts, lead me to your open arms. Word of truth, illuminate all these lies, the enemy speaks inside, and freedom I will rise, 'cause you called me out.
And welcome back to A Biblical Response. That was our last break, and we're now ready to forge ahead for the next, 12 minutes maybe, until we have to end at noon. I'm going to go back to Stephanie, the point we brought up during the break. Oh, and before I do that, if you do want to call, there's still time for a phone call. 772-221-1100. I must have said, if I got a dollar for every time I wrote that, I'd be a rich man today. I could retire again.
There you go.
772-221-1100. If you want to call, question, or comment. And back to you, Stephanie.
Yeah, we were just talking about the faith team that President Trump
has put into place since he's been in office, the first administration and this administration, but it's gotten stronger even this administration. But one of the things that I want to bring kind of closer to home is the state of Florida. I'm going to tell you something, guys. We are moving forward in that as well here.
Yeah.
We have, they've established, Governor DeSantis has established a Governor's Faith and Community Initiative team that was launched in 2019. Now, he came into office in 2019, so he brought that into the governor's office.
Amen.
So just as President Trump has it in his office, DeSantis has it here as well, which is that's kind of unusual. You don't see that in many states. And I believe that there are other states looking to Florida because of the fact that he has led well here. He has good administration around him. Mm-hmm. There are people that have come and gone and obviously gone to the federal level as well. We've got Rubio's up there now and all of that. But, you know, we have people here that are circling the wagons there in Tallahassee.
Amen.
And within our own communities that there is a group that is called the Faith and Community Initiative Team. But then there's also another group off of that that's kind of a board that deals with more of the grassroots that then brings ideas back to the governor's Faith and Community Initiative Team in the governor's office, which then goes to the governor. So it's kind of they've been able
like two prongs.
Oh, it's very intricate. And,
okay.
And they are listening. They are watching. They're in the community. These are faith leaders from across the state that come together for this board and for this council that give counsel to what's going on out in the communities, which
That's
is
wonderful.
Huge. One of the big initiatives they have there is called Care Portal. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but Care Portal is something that helps, that brings, actually goes through the government to get help back to the people through the churches, which is odd because you think of the churches being the one to start this, but actually the government has been very good about, DeSantis's team has been very good about putting this to work inside of the state of Florida.
That's a blessing for us to have this in the state.
It is a blessing.
I think that First Lady DeSantis also had something to do with the Care
Florida.
Portal.
Yeah. Yes.
And Hope Florida is separate.
Yes. Yep. So there's a lot of different initiatives that they've got going, and they all work together. And I was very blessed to be in one of those meetings not too long ago in May, and just to sit there and hear the people that were involved in this, it's like we have a lot of people. I mean, they're not just talking.
Yeah.
They are working for the state of Florida. They are working in their own communities, in their own ministries. But one of the things that people that are hearing us on the radio today can get involved with is there is a call that started actually during the Amendment 4.
Yeah, I was on those weekly calls.
Yes, me too. Yep.
And we didn't even know each other then.
No, I know. That's but, so yeah. cool. Yeah. So these calls, but...
are they bringing them back up? Because
They had their very first one. They call them exclusive calls because not everybody knows about them. So here we are trying to get everybody to know that it's there. But you can go online to faithandcommunityflorida.com and sign up for these exclusive calls with people like they'll have the governor on there from time to time. The first lady's been on there and then other state leaders. The first call that they had, it used to be Eric Dillenbach was the head of that team. But now it is a gentleman called by the name of Dylan Fisher who facilitated this first call. And this, you may not think, oh, well, this is, we know about hurricanes. We know about all these things, but they had the leader of the Florida Department of Emergency Management, Kevin Guthrie, on this last one and just talked about hurricane season and how it was looking at and how they're preparing and some of the different things that they're doing to help. So, yeah, it's not always about, quote unquote, faith, but it's about there's people that in the way of the hurricane that may need help, and how you can help, and what we can do to get you help if you need help. You know, so it's all of these things to bring together.
Yeah,
that they're actually pushing this back out to the churches, so that they aren't just getting help, they're getting the whole body is getting help. So it's spiritual and emotional, and I mean they're doing some things with mental care and different things like you know,
so they're getting the churches to wake up.
They are,
because they're from what I understand, and I'm on the website, yeah. they're calling on the churches to serve,
yes,
Floridians all across the state.
Yes. And
so the government
happens?
Is not the one who's, you know, where we think government is this end-all be-all. They need to do all the solutions. But it's the churches that they're equipping and empowering to do that.
Yes.
That's wonderful. That's how government should be.
It should be within the church to,
yes,
do to equip the,
yeah,
and to equip the people spiritually too. So it is a holistic way of doing help. It's not just, you know, you've heard the
handouts.
Yeah,
I know.
Hand a person a fish or hand him a fishing pole. Which one is it? You know. So it's been good to sit and watch this, but it's something we can all do to get involved. You can also call. There's a number that you can call that they will call you back. It's 850-717-9494. If you don't get someone live, they will call you back. I know, because I've done it a couple,
yep,
of times. And yeah, it's
it rings
good to
right
know.
To the governor's office.
It
too.
Does.
Yeah,
it's called the red phone.
Yep, I know.
Yeah,
it's the community red phone. Yeah, it's the first in the nation direct phone line, specifically for the Florida faith community.
Yes, and there are other states that are looking at this model because it is going so well, and they've been very successful in getting people off welfare just because of the fact that there's a community that's coming around them that's willing to stand,
amen,
with them. And set.
Is New York City one?
I can't guarantee any
we
of
need
that.
To pray for
that
New York City.
So, you know, and there's the difference. There's,
yes,
the difference.
Leadership.
It's a stark difference.
You know, people, right. If people cannot understand the difference, yes, right there for what the faith community is doing out in the country and out in these cities, mm-hmm, right? Glorifying God. Right. And,
yes,
bringing God out into the country and
utilizing
and
the churches,
utilizing the churches and leading that way. Whereas in New York, and I'm sure that everybody has heard about it because it's
tell
really,
them, though, they may not have.
Yeah. Well, but where this guy is running for mayor, Mondani is his name, mm-hmm, right? Mondani. And he's running for mayor and he's a socialist. Mm-hmm. Right, which turns might as well be a communist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but people do not understand, and there he won the Democratic
nomination,
and if you can't understand now where the socialist is trying to take from people, right? The socialist is trying to take from people, and now and the faith in Florida, we're trying to give out and we're trying to extend a helping hand.
Yep.
So to understand the good and the bad, and if you don't think that that's not evil, you know, really, we've got to take a different view. We've got to take a step back and take a different look at what's going on.
Talk about the Democratic Party.
It's
leading towards what? Communism?
But the spirituality,
yep,
of the Democratic Party,
yep,
is completely, I mean, it's looking at evil. I see evil.
Absolutely.
In the underbelly.
And all the New Yorkers
the
are
Democrat,
moving south to Florida.
Well, if they're,
because they're trying to get out.
Well, and okay, so I just looked up how many people we had in Florida. We've got 23 million individuals,
okay,
in Florida.
Right.
Okay.
We have 16.9 million Floridians that identify as faith-based.
Wow.
16 out of 23.
Yeah. So
million.
Guys, if this community could possibly, and everybody is individual. We get it.
Right.
But the individual make up the mass.
Yeah.
So we just had a call from the president of the
Faith,
United
right.
States
yesterday
that we were able to get on and hear him speak off the cuff about faith. No matter what's in this man's heart, no matter what is going on in him, we as individual Christians don't be afraid to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to find someone who's in need. Help that person next to you.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. I mean, we have great leaders, but become one. Become a great leader.
in whatever capacity, whether it's with your grandchildren or whether it's standing with the president of the United States or standing with the governor or standing with, you know, a community leader or your church, your pastor, be a leader within your church. This is what God is calling us to do.
Yes.
For what purpose?
Yes.
To preach the gospel.
It's all about
Christ,
the gospel.
To educate people on how they then can be a follower of Christ.
Amen.
I mean, that's what this is all about. And we can talk about the government and the media and all these things all day long. But if we don't bring it back to this, then
I
we've
agree.
Missed the point.
I agree, Stephanie.
We've missed the point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And people can also, you know, they need to be on their knees praying. There's no excuse that we should not be praying.
Mm-hmm. And not only for our government, but for everyone.
Because God is sovereign and God changes hearts.
And I love to pray, guys.
Amen.
This is why we exist, to talk to him.
You know, Zach, you know? I just lost my brother last week.
Mm. Yeah.
And,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
We're so sorry, Keith.
You know, if it wasn't one of the biggest lessons, you know, we say that we need to pray. But, you know, my brother doesn't have any life left in him. And as you do have life, it's just to pray. To pray, because God is the one who moves hearts. God is the one who moves minds and hearts.
That's right. Yeah.
And when we come up against evil, it's not anybody in particular that can do anything about it, except, like we say, we glorify God by moving forward and going out and witnessing at the same time, but being active and to glorify God, to being
to
active.
Say yes every time he puts something in front of you.
Let me talk.
Active,
I have a verse.
To glorify God.
And examine your own heart about prayer, because, I mean, I speak for my generation. I'm a baby boomer. Yeah, there's fewer and fewer of us every day. But, you know, one of the hallmarks of our generation is that instant gratification we have to get every time we do something. Now, but that does, maybe that works for you in sports or in business. Or in other areas of endeavor, but with prayer, keep in mind, yes, God calls us to prayer, but it's in his time. And he's not going to say, oh, Dave is praying, I got to move. No, no. It's I pray, and what I do have come to realize is that God takes all the prayers. He does. He doesn't trash any of them. But he has his own time to answer those prayers.
And he invites us into his work through prayer.
Yes, yes.
It's a faith move. I mean, it's a faith move to pray to something that you don't see out there. That's what faith is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But then you pray, and then when you pray, you have to trust. After you pray, then leave it. Leave that burden at his feet.
Right.
And then trust him.
Exactly, trust him.
And so, what was the scripture you were going to read?
Oh, yeah, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Okay, and then it goes further down, you know, to pray for those, like the kings and all who are in high positions. And the reason why is that we may lead, one of the reasons, I should say, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So this is basically a mandate that prayer leads to the to a peaceful nation, peaceful life.
Amen. Yes.
So,
yeah, and there's a great benefit in prayer. We just need, and many people don't pray a whole lot. You know, again, maybe it's part of
that.
Well,
I don't
pray
as much as I should. I'll just say that right now. I mean, I preach to myself on a daily basis. Stephanie, it's time to go pray.
Yeah. Maybe people should take a time that they just implement every day. I'll pray every day at 9:30 before bed.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a suggestion.
It helps if I arrange my day that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
some people are very like scheduled like that. So.
Yeah, we have 1 minute before we have to say goodbye and let other things play before the top of the hour. So.
Yeah.
This has been an interesting. I really enjoyed this. You know, Shakarant commenting, you know, we started today with less prep than we normally do because everybody was on the phone call yesterday at a time we'd normally be talking
be prepping,
about the program.
Yeah.
So. But the Lord has graciously moved us through this time. You may agree with some of the things we said. You may disagree. Well, you can do that. Nobody called to tell us one way or the other, so maybe next week, you know.
Yeah. Maybe they're praying.
Well, maybe you're praying, too, and I hope you are. But anyway, this is a blessed opportunity for us. We just come together and try to serve the Lord and touch points we think people are concerned about. But now it's the time to thank you for listening. Catch us next week, same time, same station.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.
If we're going to tackle any subject in Scripture, which we do, we regularly tackle one subject after another, we're not going to do it using our 10 favorite verses. We're not going to go to the internet and say 10 verses on and study that. We're